Hello and welcome to this episode of the Hello and Blues podcast. We are recording this on the day after India's win over South Africa in the ODI series. As usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Venkat. Hello, Venkat, how are you?
Hi, Shini. I'm doing very well, thanks.
I just mentioned, we're recording this the day after the ODI series. But to be honest, I must say, I've really not paid much attention to this ODI series. It just feels so odd, this ODI series, as if it's kind of blanked.
Even the, I remember India team, this Indian team, I think tweeted that they were watching the England, Australia T20 from Perth. I think it was, I spotted Ashwin, Chahal, and a couple of others. Even they didn't fancy watching their own team playing. So that goes to show how much following is there for that ODI series.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with this ODI series, we'll probably look at some of the performances over the last two games. South Africa obviously gave up on an ODI series in Australia earlier. It was the beginning of this year, it's actually next year. So they've got a series over in Australia next year. They've given up on that one because they obviously want the start of their T20 series, the new T20 series, which means they've decided not to go to Australia.
Yeah.
And currently, before the start of this series, South Africa were on 11th place on the Super League points table.
Yeah.
So a win on this series will actually take them up to 9th. So I think they're behind Sri Lanka and Ireland. They were behind Sri Lanka and Ireland this year. So a win here, it kind of feels this is far more important to South Africa than it is to India. I mean, the very fact that, we talked about this, I think, quite a number of times, earlier in this podcast. If you go back to a few weeks, talked about having two different teams that India can play. And we were talking about this from a test perspective to say, we could have a red ball team and a white ball. But this is where we're actually having two white ball teams. One in the World Cup, for the T20I team, and then one almost made up of fringe players and discards, is how I would probably put it, because you would look at Shikhar Dhawan and say, if India were playing a proper ODI series with all the first 11 available, Shikhar Dhawan still make it? Probably he might, based on pass, but I'll probably say Rahul and Rohit Sharma would be the first choice.
Rahul, Rohit, there is a feel. I mean, one of the reasons I think there is not much of followership is they're all already looking forward to the World Cup. And you know that your best 11 is always going to be the most watched. In lieu of other entertainment, we can, kind of give it a passing glance. But if there was, for example, the ODI, the T20 series going on, I don't think anybody would be looking at this. Everybody knows it's the second team, although they do represent India and are called, rightfully called so.
It's completely odd. India, as we said, India can afford to have a completely different series, not just 11, but almost 15, 16 that have actually traveled to Australia. Whereas South Africa, you think they have to finish this ODI series and then travel to Australia for the T20I. So there's a mindset shift that will be required, whereby the players finish the T20 series, then they're playing an ODI series, and then they shift back into T20, mode again. It's so much more harder for South Africa, or making it difficult for themselves in terms of that. Given the, just kind of looking at this specific series in a sense. Bouma, their captain, is not in form and is not finding any form either.
No, he's really struggling. I mean, you can see in his body language, his fielding and confidence on the field, he's starting to take a hit. They have a game tomorrow, after which they fly to Australia. That's leaving it too late. You know, you're going to get adjusted and so on and so forth. I know professionals. But yeah, I mean, looking at the performances, I think Bouma's the captain has taken a hit in terms of his consistency.
Yeah, both the game. I mean, the big one from an ODI series perspective for South Africa. We'll look at India in a minute. There's a few people, you know, definitely finding form. The previous game, like, you know, Hendrik Claassen and David Miller scored 70 odd runs in the game, the first game.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good chase. Although, that one, because it was a weather curtailed match and, you know, it was only a 40 over game.
Yeah.
I don't know, kind of, where. India's.
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, just as you were talking about David Miller. David Miller was belligerent even in the T20 thing. He nearly took them home a game. And yeah, his ball striking has been phenomenal. So I think he will be definitely a player to watch out for in the World Cup, definitely, because he was superb. Some of the hits, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting, you know, kind of contrast how people try to adapt between ODI and T20, especially South Africa here.
So, as I said, like, you know, it's good performance from David Miller. I think across both the games, the second game as well. You know, he came in. Yes, he only scored 35, but that's because more like, you know, there was a good partnership between Reza Hendricks and Aidan Markram.
Yeah.
From an Indian bowling perspective, you know, in the second game, Mohammad Siraj actually bowled very well, you know. Player I think I did found, like, you know, unlike he was Uthraj Gaikwad. He played in the first game and then he was dropped for the second game. So it's a bit like, feels India are not sure as well, like, you know what, I mean. Kishan obviously made the most of, you know, going up the order in that second game.
Yeah.
But kind of, I'm struggling to find. I mean, other than individual players, Srasair obviously scored a magnificent 100 in the second innings, and Sanju Samson, he got 86 in that.
Yeah.
He almost took, well, I say almost, but I think it's more in the end that
he
started scoring. So it's kind of, well, I suppose. For some of the Indian fringe players, you just say, like, no, there's a few India caps that they're getting and filling their boots when they have their chance by scoring runs, you know, that's all they can do.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, I think it's one for the stats, one for the, you know, one for the thing. I mean, for the take. I mean, I don't think there is anything to it. I'm a bit disappointed about Ishan Kishan, you know, not getting to his 100 when he had the opportunity, got out by his own making, right? Terrific catch. But, you know, really, from another player that I want to talk about is Quinton de Kock. I think from South Africa's chances of, from this series and ODI as well as T20, he got almost start and stop kind of series for him. I think it was. It's going to be interesting to see how he fares. I think he's a key player, and if India face against South Africa in the World Cup, if and when that happens, I think these things will start to matter.
Yeah. One person we probably need to talk about, so as you said, Quinton de Kock. You know, similarly from an India perspective, is Rohit Sharma.
Yeah.
well, the three game against South Africa, he scored 43, and then he got out for duck in a couple of the games. You know, no score. Again, Australia was the same thing. Like, you know, he scored 46 in one game, and then the other two couple of games, he didn't score much. So there is like, and then I think today there was a game against the Western Australia 11,
yeah.
Like the practice 11. He got out scoring three. It's a bit of like, well, his form seems to be like very, very inconsistent right now.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if it has to do with the bounce. He's trying to play the short ball. It's bouncing a little bit more. I don't know. We can't get into the technical details or nuances. But if you look at this overall year in terms of T20, his average on 24, which is not bad. I mean, his strike rate has dipped a little bit. But yeah, I think that's the worry. I mean, he's also taking a little bit more time to dot percentage has increased than what it was a couple of years ago. I think his strike rate definitely has come down. So yeah, you can say that he's suffering poor form.
Yeah, the difference. I mean, even if you take that one Australia game where he scored like, you know, was it 46 not out or something like that, I think, you know, but that was like a curtailed 8-over game.
Yeah.
So, which means there was really no time for him to think or just, you know, he just had to go like maybe India to get what 90 odd.
Yeah, 90.
So yes. He just had to go after like, you know, the bowling. There was no time for him to think.
Yeah, T20 itself is a curtailed format. That's just a curtailed match in the T20. So yeah, obviously it's caution to the wind. It doesn't matter about the outcome. So you just go at it, and I don't think he would play the same way. Well, probably he should to regain his form. The worrying is part is Rahul isn't in great form either. So it's like when you're opening, both players are out of form. It becomes slightly difficult, especially if you take a position can sneak in 2-3 overs. It's like, yeah, that would be very difficult. Especially given our lack of bowling options this time. No Jadeja, yeah. No Jadeja, no Bumrah.
I was hoping like, you know, Deepak Chahar just coming back into form. Clearly Deepak Chahar is also now injured, so Shami is going. On one hand, it just kind of shows like, you know, India's depth in terms of, you know, in the white ball format, in terms of bowling, yeah, you can replace. I mean, I don't know whether like, you know, the Ravindra Jadeja this will be so huge when you compare Akshar Patel. Probably in fielding, Akshar Patel is good in fielding, don't get me wrong, you know, but you know, sort of from a bowling and a batting. Yes, he's not got the experience of Ravindra Jadeja, but I think that's a fairly like-for-like replacement.
Almost,
you know, so you would probably say like, you know, an 80 to 85% kind of replacement.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
It's the Bumrah one. Yes, Shami is got experience, but there's something about Bumrah, you know, that just puts fear in the opposition batsman, which I don't think Shami will.
Yeah, especially the new players, newcomers would struggle to pick him, right? I mean, especially I think the run-up, the setup, whereas Shami is more rhythmic. It's almost like you can see him for long. You know what is coming. Although, you know, let's wait and see before delivering the verdict. But yeah, given, you know, if you ask Rohit Sharma, who would you have? Obviously, it will be Bumrah than Shami. Given T20 is a game, funny game. Anybody can go for runs any day. All that is there. But if you ask, the first preference would be Bumrah.
Yeah, that's definitely true. The one I was going to say big plus, but I don't think it's kind of a big plus is the consistency of Sky's form, Surya Kumar Yadav, you know, across the two tours. And also, like, you know, today's match, you know, consistently scoring runs.
Yeah.
Let's, fingers crossed, let's hope he's not peaked too early and, like, carries on his form.
That's exactly my thing, Srini, especially, you know, I'm a bit wary of people who are playing very well before a big tournament, especially around sort of formats. It's like, you know, Yeah, you go and you get into a certain rhythm, and suddenly everything changes, and you're not able to find. So I hope, Sky can keep his form. I mean, he's playing really out of this world cricket. Some of the shots in those series, also against South Africa, were like absolutely. When the bowlers walk back, they are like, you can see the reaction in them. Like, what did I do wrong? I mean, what could I have told? I mean, it's very few times that you get, especially from, I think Lungengiri was there one game, and then it was like really. Yeah, it's a phenomenal shot, phenomenal execution. And so Sky's form may long continue. Let's see how it goes.
Let's see how it goes. So the first game is in like 2 weeks' time. So not Sunday, not the coming Sunday, but the Sunday after, where India play Pakistan. Obviously, there's a couple of matches that India play. The one I think thing just this time around is like, pretty much every team is like going in with a number of T20Is under their belt. England played Pakistan, seven games. England, Pakistan had just now, and then Pakistan have gone to New Zealand and Bangladesh are playing a tri-series. So they've got a few games. New Zealand, I think, played against Australia before Australia came over to India, so they've got a few games under their belt. And obviously, India and South Africa are playing, and Australia are playing England right now. So it feels like all of the teams, right up to coming up to the T20 series, have like got a number of games under their belt. If you were to just pick the favorite, I think at the minute you would probably say Australia are favorite, I'd say, because they're playing at home. But also, they seem to have their batting and bowling lineup sorted.
I mean, a couple of players. I know we are covering World Cup. We're talking about Tim David was phenomenally good in a couple of games. Some of the shots were wow, and then Matthew Wade, although he should have been given out for that, for obstructing the field. Yeah, the.
It's interesting. You mentioned that upset in the field. I was watching the game at that point, and I was thinking there is no way that, especially when you saw the replays, you think, well, this is just out. Turns out the only reason it was given not out was because England decided not to appeal, and unless the bowling team appeals, the umpires cannot give it out, whether it's third umpire. But the thing that I didn't understand was, or rather, I think England did appeal actually. That's why it went to the third umpire, but they then decided to withdraw the appeal more. And suddenly, the fans are going, oh, look, we follow the spirit of cricket. But turns out it wasn't quite the spirit of cricket, it was more around the fact that they didn't want the bad PR.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Butler said in the thing, the press conference, or after post match conference, that he said, oh, if it was a big game, we would have appealed and gone through with it. But that just goes to show that how this is why you need laws and not moral codes, because it's open for interpretation. It's applied a bit loose. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of like, oh yeah, we'll just decide not to
It's just a
discuss.
practice match. Recall the batsman. Let him have a go.
Would have been interesting if they had lost the match, would they still be saying, I we don't mind? Or if, I mean, I think it's fair to say if this was the World Cup final, I don't think the spirit of cricket would have come into England would have definitely appealed and not just decided to
Obviously.
look. And the it would have been turned around to say, well, he was obstructing the field. They would have completely turned it around. Australia, it's the Australia, rather than anything to do with them. This we didn't do anything like that. Not the fact that they didn't follow the spirit of cricket. But yeah.
Absolutely. Well said, Srini. I completely agree, of course.
That kind of said, one of the other things I meant, so but we'll probably do a more in-depth preview of the World Cup next week on the next episode of the podcast. India are out there, and let's see where it goes. I mean, the other multinational cup, if you like, series that is happening is Women's Asia Cup.
Yeah.
The India women playing in the Asia Cup. The semifinals are due later this week. I think it's on Thursday, the semifinals, and the finals on Saturday. I think it's fair to say, like, you know, the India women have had a slightly topsy-turvy.
Topsy-turvy, yeah. Roller coaster.
It's like not roller coaster in the sense of, like, you know, you just look at the table, you'll say, well, what's topsy-turvy? They won 5 games, they lost 1 game, so it's straightforward. It's just that the games have been a little bit up and down sort of thing. I mean, yesterday's game, like, against Thailand was they bowled out Thailand for 37, and this is, like, you know, the team that's actually sat fourth at the time of this recording. You know, Thailand, who actually beat, like, you know, other teams, like they beat Malaysia, they beat the UAE, and, you know, even they beat Pakistan, which is funny, like, you know, Pakistan women beat India, and Thailand women beat Pakistan, and then India beat Thailand comprehensively. the way as it stands the table at the minute is, like, India are on top, Pakistan second, Sri Lanka third, and Thailand are fourth.
Yeah.
Bangladesh fifth, but there's a game that, you know,
Bangladesh have got, they just have to win and win with a decent margin. Thailand hasn't done themselves any favor by losing it. Like 40 runs or something, not losing by 40 runs, but by taking only 40 runs. So that takes your run rate to negative.
So the equation is straightforward for Bangladesh. If they win tomorrow against the UAE, they go through to, like, fourth one, and then they will place they'll semifinal will be India versus Bangladesh. And then Pakistan and Sri Lanka, they play each other in a dress rehearsal sort of thing before they play the semifinals.
Yeah.
Because that much inconsequential. It would be interesting to... Although, having said that, I mean, I know we said, oh, it's inconsequential who wins, Pakistan or Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Depending on the margin, Pakistan could actually go above India. If they beat Sri Lanka by a big margin.
Big margin, yeah.
And then, like, you know, so India might play Sri Lanka. But the fact that there's almost like a... The net red rate of India is India won this game against...
Yeah, exactly.
Thailand.
Thailand has contributed, you know, to that as well. You're absolutely right.
So Pakistan will need to win by, like, a massive margin. Something like, you know, what India did.
Yeah.
Sri Lanka out for, like, 30, 40 runs.
And I think it's safe to say that India will be, I mean, the net run rate is 3 and then Pakistan are at 2. Sri Lanka are at 1.2 or something like that. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that big a difference. I mean, you don't find teams getting dismissed for 40, even if it's a short form of the game.
Yeah. Shefali Verma is actually, like, you know, at 18 years, she's already become the fifth Indian woman to score 1,000 T20 runs and then the youngest in all of women's cricket. To me, on one hand, like, you know, it feels like she's so inconsistent.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, if you look at it, like, you know, she's only played 44 T20 internationals and scored over 1,000 runs.
That's phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely, like, you know, phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, considering how she was, shall we say, flopping in England when India were around here, I think you have to say she's a bit, it turned it around. In terms of her recent performances, her form wasn't great. I think it's also, I don't know if there is anybody knocking the door in the Indian team for the opener slot. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like where she probably ends up being. Anyway, so that's kind of what. So when I think this finals is on Saturday, we'll keep an eye out before the next episode in terms of like, you know, what happens in the Asia Cup final. There's a good chance for India, so we'll see. And then early next week we'll probably look at the next Sunday next week, isn't it, that the T20 proper starts. Yep. Obviously the first week goes away with the qualifying side of it, and like, you know, the, and then all the big boys actually come in from the following Sunday. India play Pakistan, which is actually the second game. There's another earlier game which will, depending on that game depends on, like, you know, sort of how the table pans out.
Yeah.
The qualifiers, the first two games is basically qualifiers playing on the Sunday. And then from there onwards, the India-Pakistan match starts. interesting to see. It'll already be like 15th or 16th group game.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting considering West Indies, who you would think, you know, would walk into any of the T20 games, but you know they are playing the.
Yeah, you mentioned West Indies. I did, you know, kind of really forgot about that. You know, Shimron Hetmeyer. Did you see the fact that you know he's been dropped because
he missed?
I don't
the flight.
Know. Like, you know, we, obviously the reasons haven't really come out in terms of, you know, whether it's something personal that he decided that he couldn't travel. That's kind of not been quite published, but just reading the headlines that, you know, he was stopped because he missed his flight twice. I really don't know. You know, it could be something that's far more important in his personal life. That's the reason why he decided that he wasn't going to make it.
We never got to hear what his side of the story was. And I don't know if he has even come out with an explanation, but I found it a bit strange the West Indies Cricket Board decided. And we have seen in the past, it's not nothing new from West Indies Cricket Board that some of these actions, you know, Pollard, I think, was dropped, and, you know, all the great players who you'd think would be on the flight. I hope, you know, that doesn't deter West Indies chances of getting a game.
Yeah. With that, we'll wrap up this episode of the podcast. If you do like the sound of this podcast, do encourage us by downloading this from whichever platform that you download, and do leave your reviews and ratings on that, and do engage with us on Twitter. We are at L1blues.com, at L1blues on our Twitter handle. So we look forward to, like, you know, previewing the series, the World Cup, next week. And until then, it's goodbye from Venkat and I.